So we left off towards the bottom of Lamed Rav Beis. We're trying to understand the very cryptic brisa. The brisa said something about a Levi, something about Trumas Meiser, something about Yisrael saying something, and we're very, very unclear who was saying what about what. So the Gemara gives us a whole new shot of the brisa. So the first one's line is Nechshadu. It's about the 12 lines or so from the bottom. At the end of the line, Elam Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, this is the correct Shana Braisa. Hachikama, then Yisrael Sha'omel Alevi. So Yisrael says to Alevi, Kach Omeli Abba. Yisrael says that my father told me before he died, Maisel Chabiyadi, or Maisel Adi Chabiyadi. So Yisrael informed the Alevi that I know for a fact I have all this grain, I have these barrels of apples and fruits and stuff sitting in my storehouse that my father told me really belongs to you. So the question is, okay, great, wonderful. He's willing to give it. Yisrael has no qualms giving it to the Levi. The question is, can we assume that Trumas Meiser has already been taken off? Now we know that halacha is that there are a whole series of different things that have to be taken off before the produce can be partaken of. So you have to take off Truma to the Kohen, to the Meiser, to the Levi, and then Trumas Meiser, 10th of the 10th, has to be taken off as well. If that 10th of the 10th is not taken off, then it's Tevel Gamur. And it's also with the rice to eat. So can we assume that the father, before he died, took off the ma'aser? So usually the answer would be yes, because we have a rule that a chaver, someone who's careful, scrupulous in the realm of dreams and ma'asers, would do things right away. He wouldn't leave stuff around trying to ma'aser properly. So we can assume that everything was probably done properly. Here, though, it gets a little bit complicated, because here, we don't even know how much it is. The Yisrael says that my father told me there's some apples in the store. I didn't even count that. I didn't even know how many apples there are. So it's highly unlikely that he separated two of the nitrous. We didn't have a clue how much was there. So therefore, under no circumstances, therefore we have to be afraid that Chumas Meiser was not separated yet. And the lady cannot partake of those fruit until Chumas Meiser is taken over appropriately. Why is this? Came in the little kits. Since it wasn't kites, it wasn't in the set amount. Therefore, the Balabais never would have, the original owner never would have separated. He couldn't have separated if he wouldn't have wanted to. However, what if Yisrael says to the Levi, my father left me a note saying that there's a core of Maisa, there's a bushel, there's a 10 pounds, give me an exact amount. Or he told me that, yes, Maisa, it still should have been given to your father. I'm sitting in my storehouse for years. So since there was a set amount to it, ain't choshen Trumas Meiser Shibo. Therefore, there's nothing to worry about. We can assume that everything was taken off properly, came in the kids, because since the amount was set, the kunei tachne balabaye, so the original Yisrael, the original father, no longer alive, for sure, he already had separated everything properly, because we have the chazapa that people who are from, who are careful, don't leave tevel floating around. So now the Gemara says, it's very nice that we have such a chazaka, but who gave the authority of the Israel to separate Trumas Meiser? If you think about it, Trumas Meiser is really something that's incumbent upon the Levi. The Israel gives the Meiser to the Levi, and then the Levi subsequently separates the Trumas Meiser. So how in the world does the Israel have the authority even to separate it in the first place? Creation of Rishus, the Malabais, literal Trumas Meiser. Does, in fact, the Yisrael, the Balabais, the original owner of the fruit, have that ability to separate Trumas Meiser? It's not his? Yes. The answer is yes. This follows the view of Abba Elazar ben Gimla. This is following a tradition of Bryce that's quoted by the name of one of the Tanoim, Abba Elazar ben Gimla, and the following drasha. This side of Elazar ben Gimla Omer, the Nechshav Lachem Trumaschem. So the Torah at the end of Pashas Korach speaks about the different matanos that are given, the Trumas Gedola, then the Ma'aser Rishon, then the Ma'aser Minamaser. So at the very end of the Pasha, the Torah says, V'nechshav lechem Trumaschem, that the Trumas Ma'aser is considered to be like regular Truma, so it uses the plural, V'shtei Trumas at the top, Lam and Aleph, Lam and Aleph, V'shtei Trumas across the Medaber. The Torah is speaking about two different Trumas, Achas Truma Gedola, the Achas Trumas Ma'aser. So there's a comparison between the two, between regular truma, that first very small amount that goes to the Kohen, and then the additional larger amount, the tenth of the tenth, that goes to the Kohen as well. So the Torah puts the two into the same word to teach me the following halachas. Kishem, shetruma gedola, they tell us about omer. The same way that when you separate truma gedola, you don't have to literally measure every single drop, because in the Torah, you can separate any amount. With the Rabbanon, you're supposed to separate a 40, 50, 60, depending on how nice of a person you are. But with the Raisa, even the smallest amount would be good. So too, when you separate Chumas Maisa, you don't sit and count every single a drop of a bushel. You have to approximate that it's a tenth of the tenth. Uva Machshava. And just as when you separate Chumas Gedola, you need not do it with action. You need not even do it with words. As long as you have in mind it's Chuma, that's good enough. So kach trumas meiser tells Rav Machshava. So too trumas meiser, all those halachas carry over. And you could separate trumas meiser without actually measuring, and you could separate trumas meiser with just machshava. And now we continue that comparison. Ukeshem sheyesh bo rishus to malamaiser from trumas gedola. The same way that the owner of the produce has the authority to separate trumas gedola. Of course, he has it's his fruit. Kach yesh bo rishus to malamaiser from trumas meiser. So too the malamais, although it's not really his meister anymore, once he separates it, it really belongs to the Levium. Nevertheless, it's still enough of his. He has the ability to separate Chumas Meister. So the bottom line is that, going back to the story of the Brisa, since the fellow who died has, we can say with certainty that he separated the Chumas Meister before, because he never would have died leaving behind Tevel in his storehouse. As long as he knew how much it was, so we know how much it was, then we can assume that the proper chumas were chumas mice were taken. Now we're going to get a new Mishnah. And the Mishnah.
So
in
Israel, can take that chumas mice for the lady.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because when he goes to the calling to give him his
chumas. Right, right, right. So that's right.
He can say, I think something of a miser. And when he gives him a miser, he goes, all right, to call
the chumas. Right, right, right. That's just about right, right. Israel is considered to be like the shtickle by them. This is about right. Right. So now the next mission continues with the theme of the last several Mishnayos of different chazakos, different relying on the status quo. So the mission begins, Amaniach peros yasmafish alein truma maizros. What if a person has a lot of fruit and he has some of the fruit sitting in the storehouse somewhere, he wants to use that fruit as potential truma maizros for other fruit that he has. So how does he know the fruit is still there? He's not in the storehouse. He's a mile away. He's out in the field somewhere. He has no idea whether that original fruit is still intact. Maybe it was stolen. It was burnt down. We have no idea what happened to that fruit. But he remembers that a few days ago that fruit was there. So he can continue to separate from the maizos, assuming that fruit is still there. That's the principle of chazaka mekar. This is, of course, the question. What right does he ever have to separate chumas and maizos in this fashion? We learned the other day about the entire Shlomo Namukov. The din is that whenever you separate chumas and maizros, the fruit is really all supposed to be in front of you. Forgetting about the fact that they're not there, even if you know for a fact that it's present, if it's not sitting in front of you, you're not supposed to separate chumas and maizros this way. So Tosus already points out that the Gemara says that Masech is Yevamos, and there are certain exceptions to that rule. Let's say, for example, it's Erev Shabbos. Mm-hmm. It's right, let's go to Shabbos in a few minutes, and you're not allowed to separate chumas and maizros on Shabbos proper. So the guy's in a rush, has enough time to go bring his stuff to go make it Minam Mukov. So then the halacha is you're allowed to separate. Since Minam Mukov is only a Lichat Chila, so the Torah says you're allowed to be Ma'afush Shomer Mukov on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. So in theory, you could circumvent that problem, but the real issue that I'm interested in dealing with, how do you know the fruit's still there? How in the world can I separate apples here? Separate apples that are sitting 10 miles from me to be mat to the fruit that's here. How do I know those apples are still around? So the mission says, don't worry about it. It's okay. You can be a man. You have a niach peros, there's mafreshem, tumas maizos, or most, the stavis alei maizos sheni. What if you want to redeem your maizos sheni? So you have to transfer the kedusha of the maizos sheni onto coins. How do you know the coins are still there? I put coins in my drawer somewhere. 6 months ago, and now I'm 20 miles away, and I want to eat this apple. I want to separate the Maaseh Sheni, and I want to redeem the Maaseh Sheni onto the coins. How do I know the coins are still there? So again, once you have the same principles, you can rely on the Chazaka. We do Maaseh Sheni this month also. We do it in Eretz Yisrael for sure, and even in Chutzlarts once in a while. We do Chil, we do Pidyon Maaseh Sheni. So if a person buys some produce from not that far from here. You know, the farmer's market in Bergenfield, they often sell the Israeli carrots, Israeli peppers, all kind of stuff, and it's very, very unclear whether Chubas and Maisus will ever separate any of those things. So we tell everybody, at least without a bracha, they should separate Chubas and Maisus again, and they should separate Maisus Sheni and the Maisus Sheni years, and they should redeem the Maisus Sheni. So how do you redeem Maisus Sheni? You have to get a coin, and you have to transfer the Kedusha onto the coin. So we have been, we have a good fortune. Rabbi Willing has given me the authority to transfer. Anybody who ever asked me, I tell them they can use his coin. He has coins sitting in the shul in Israel Riverdale that are dedicated for Chibur Maisus Sheni, and set up in such a manner that I remember the way the coins were, how the Kedusha goes from one coin to the next, and back to the back and forth, back and forth. So in a way that one is able to constantly be mafresh, to be pulled by Maisus Sheni. So how do I know those coins are still there? So I'm sitting in Bergenfield. I want to separate my Sheni and the Mechal of the Kedusha, the carrots, onto those coins. I'll have to call and check to see whether they're there. I know they were there last year, so I assume that they're still there.
Digital coins don't work.
What? Digital coins. That's got to be the real coin. No, sorry. At the end of the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, so the halacha is you have to get rid of all the coins in my Sheni. So in the old days, the Mishnah says, whatever has Kedusha wasn't used has to be thrown into the Yamamelech. You just can't discard in such a way that nobody will ever get those coins again. So with the people just throw it to the river, they do whatever they do. So in YU, we have a more scientifically advanced way of doing it. So we have every 3 years, we take all the coins that are left over from Chilul Maaseh Sheni that people have, and we bring them to the YU chem lab. And they give us a cup of some one of these acids or something, which kind of a hydrochloric acid, one of these kind of acids. And basically, we toss it into the acid, and the thing self destructs, and all the funny colors come out of it. And then try to be a canoxin and be a machine. So you missed the last one. It was a little while ago. Wait, I'm telling you where the next one should be. The next one should be. What happened last year? It's at the end of the third year, end of the sixth year, which is really into the Shemitah year. So you got another 2 years to go. So we arrived in 2 years. We're trying to have a class trip to go watch the BMS of Shane and the Chem Lab. Okay.
Why feel bad not doing something by, not taking Shushlaim, not using it?
Well, today, what are you doing? Today, you can't take the Shlaim. Take the Shlaim and buy fruit.
But there is something you're missing. There is
the Torah says you're allowed to. You're allowed to take the fruit and fold it into the money. And then obviously the model of the Torah is supposed to take the money and go to Shemayim and buy food with it. The problem is anything that you buy with those coins becomes Kodesh Kedushas Maaseh Sheni, which means you can't eat it today because we're Tommy, it's Tommy, etc. So today we're in a perpetual problem. So the only way to do it is to be pulled in and leave the coins open at the end of the third year. Let's get rid of the coins.
So Maaseh Sheni is not full Kodesh Maaseh Sheni, and you can bring these. If all Kodesh Maaseh Sheni is Tommy,
no, Maaseh Sheni is not something that's moved to the tumah. That's only a special din by certain kabbalas. Okay,
it sounds like Rashi's arguing on Tosfos because Rashi says it's the b'chim osa tamid. It's not just erev Shabbos and erev Yom Tov. You're doing it all the time.
Right. It's a difficult Rashi. Pasuk Pshat is that what gave you the right to do this? Everything is shalom and amukof. It's a problem, right? Right. It's a difficult Rashi. So Mishnah continues. Im avdu. What if you separated two mishmaishris, al smach the fruit that you thought was around, and then you find out it's not around anymore? You realize that whatever fruit you thought existed doesn't exist. So now you're in a big pickle, because now you've been separating two mishmaishris for weeks on end, that the whole two mishmaishris was bought though. And so what do you do? So Rabbi Elazar says that you have to be concerned for 24 hours. Actually, what that means. Does that mean that for the past 24 hours you have to assume everything was ruined? Or does it mean after the first 24 hours you have to assume everything was ruined? You might as well try to just fine tune what those words 24 hours mean. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishlosha Prakha Bokir Sayayin. There are three times during the year that you have to check the wine. Because if you want to use wine to separate the nice from the other wine, you have to make sure that the wine hasn't turned to vinegar yet. So if you're sitting around with the months-old wine, that wine they've already spoiled, that once it turns into the vinegar, it can't be used for Chumash Maisus anymore. So you have to check it. So there are three different times during the year where they would check the wine. So one of them was right after Sukkot, when it would get, it was the beginning of the windy time, the Mashiv Aruch times. So that was one time it was set. then Otzos Madar, when the very, very beginning of the blossoms of the new vines would come. And the third one is Kishas Mayim Babosar, when the very, very small grapes would already start to fill up with liquid. So that would be a sign that it would be time to check the wines again. Again, I have absolutely no idea. I wouldn't know what this year and why I saw them, but these are the three times of the year. If you're in the wine business, say, you know, these are the big times of the year. You have to go check your wine to make sure things are still intact. So the Gemara wasn't enough technically. What did that mean when it said, So Rabbi Yochanan says, what it means is that the Ace Lies of Bedika, let's say I checked it on Monday at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I realized that I have a problem, that the fruit isn't there, the produce isn't there anymore. So I have to be concerned that anything that was separated on relying on this fruit in the last 24 hours has to be redone. Because, again, I have no idea when this fruit got lost, when this fruit got eaten. I've been out for the last 6 months. So I know that it's not here now, and therefore I have reason to believe it probably wasn't around an hour ago, probably wasn't around 6 hours ago, probably wasn't around 20 hours ago. It wasn't around 6 months ago. I don't know. So for the last 24 hours, you have to be concerned. Rabbi Elazar ben Antigonus Omer Shem Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yarai. There was a different tradition, the exact opposite, the top one of Alpha Beis. That it's not that you have to be concerned for the last 24 hours, you actually have to be concerned all the way back until the first 24 hours after when you know for sure it was around. So if I know a month ago it was around, so then for the next 24 hours after that last point of checking that I know it was around, I can assume it probably is still around. But anytime after that, that's a problem. So again, a big machlok is quite a discrepancy between do I have to be just concerned about the last 24 hours, or do I have to be concerned with the entire duration of time minus the first 24 hours? So you might just try to prove from the language of the Mishnah Tanan. Im avdu harezech ha'ishish b'yeis b'yeis. The Mishnah said that if it's lost, if the food is lost, then I have to be concerned. Me'ace the ace. It sounds like I have to be concerned for 24 hours. So Bishvamadiya me'ace the ace of the shaper. So then, then I understand that nuance, that lotion. The downside of not having a hot drink in the morning definitely plays out. So Bishvamadiya me'ace the ace of the. So according to the opinion that says that you have to be concerned, the ace of when you check the chapter, then the lashon is perfect. Because the Mishnah says, "Imavdo is a chashish be'eshdeish." You have to be nervous for 24 hours. So the 24 hours is defining, is qualifying the amount of time you're concerned. Eleman biyamar meis liyesho hanocha. So, but the opinion that says you have to be chashish all the way back minus the first 24 hours, hi meis liyes ad meis liyes v'vaylei. It should have said, you have to be worried until the ace, until the 24 hours after the original time. So the language isn't so great. It's kasha. It's a good point. It's a good question. So many Rishayim say when the Gemara says kasha is not the same as tiyufta. Many Rishayim say that tiyufta means it's wrong. Whatever we said before, it's just wrong. It's incorrect. Kasha means kasha. It's kasha. It's good kasha. A lot of good kashas out there. But you know, to make such a point that is saying that because the nuance of the Mishnah, the dictum is loved after. So we're probably not going to lose too much sleep over that point. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. So the bottom line is Rabbi Elazar said that there is a concern, but the concern is not that long. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's not that we're totally convinced that everything is a disaster from the last time that we checked. We're a little bit concerned, but not terribly concerned. So Amar Rabbi Elazar here, the Amora Rabbi Elazar is qualified in what the Tana Rabbi Elazar said. Chalukin lav chaver of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, says that the other Tanoim, the colleagues of Rabbi Elazar, disagreed with him, and they were much, much more machmir than him. So what exactly does that mean? What was the context of that disagreement? So it's a general question about when we thought we had certain facts to be true a while ago, and now we realize those facts have changed. And the question is, how much do we have to be worried retroactively? So there's a Mishnah, it speaks as follows, it's not written Mishnah. Mikvah shenimda v'nimtza choser. So we have a mikvah, and the mikvah has to have a certain amount of water in it. If it doesn't have 40 saw of water in it, then the whole mikvah is possible. Fash is possible in the araisa. So you have to have X amount of water in the mikvah. And you know, we keep our eyes on it. We, you know, measure it, take a look every once in a while. Amrit wells are three times that amount. The Amrit wells have a lot. We don't ever want to run into a question of a mikveh shenim levim tzachosa. But let's say you have a mikveh that's just very close, and all of a sudden you measure it, and you're, oh my goodness, it's chosos of it. It's down to 39 and so on. So the mikveh is actually puzzle. So obviously I can't use it the way it is now. The problem is, what about everything that used it yesterday, the day before, and the day before? Do I have to assume that in the past couple of weeks it was actually possible? So here I have a little bit of a contradiction. Because on the one hand, the chazaka me'ikara is that the mikveh was kosher. So I know this mikveh was kosher last week when I measured it. I know right now that the mikveh is possible, and I'm trying to figure out when did it change. What makes that even worse is that the person who told over this mikveh also has a chazaka against him, because he used to be tamei. The item of the kli used to be tamei. So now I have almost like three different chazakas, you know, like a chode, mixing all together. On the one hand, the mikveh has a cheskas kashrus, because it was kosher last week. The mikveh now has a chazaka dahasha being posel. I know it's posel now. And the gavra, who was tovel, has a cheskas tuma, because he was tovel before. So that's what's called in the Gemara a tarta reyusa. You have two strikes against you. So baseball, you have three, and halacha, you have two. You have two strikes against you, so that's a problem. So that's what the Mishnah says. If you have a mikveh shenimah levim tzachosah, kol tayru shenasu gavra, any dava tor that was tovel in this mikveh, lemafreya, even retroactively, day mishus hayochid, day mishus rabin. It doesn't matter whether the suffix took place in a private area, in a public area, in other areas of the chastuma. Sometimes it depends where the suffix happened. Why in the world does it depend where the suffix happened? There's a special halacha called suffix tuma bishus rabin bishus hayochid, with that from Sota. The Torah describes that if you have a woman and we're not sure whether she was mezana or not, so the Torah calls her tameya. So the Gemara says, when she's tameya, she's suffix tameya. We don't know that she's tameya. The Gemara says, no. Whenever you have a suffix halachas tuma, even though it's not exactly the same kind of tuma, but whenever you have a halachic kind of a tuma, and it's a suffix in a rishus hayochid, it's tameya. In the case of Sota, is in a private area, and a rishus haram is tahor. So that those rules of suffix tuma, rishus haram, don't play out over here. Over here, we can say with absolute certainty, we have a title in the reisa. The mikveh used to be okay, but now it's no longer okay. The gavra for sure was not okay. Those two factors joined forces, and retroactively, we have to declare everything is tameos.
The last time you measured?
Until last time you measured, right.
Why don't you say the same spot
of
the first 24 hours?
That's exactly what it says. So, chalukin alocha ve'er rabbi lozer. That's what the Gemara means when it says that the Mishnah in Gittin that quotes Rabbi Elazar says everything's okay except for 24 hours. So, that is disagreeing with the Tanoim in the Mishnah in the Bamidbar. Because the Mishnah Bamidbar is saying that everything's a problem. There is no 24-hour rule. So the Gemara says, you're right. Pshita the chalukah. Of course, there are arguments. The Gemara is saying two different things. The Mal the Tema, I would have said, Maile Mafreya, I would have kind of stuck into the words of this Mishnah. What does it mean, Mafreya? Meyes. What it means is, whatever Meyes means, is a little bit of a problem, Mafreya. Not totally. Maybe it would have been subject to the same rules of Rabbi Lazar and Mishnah. So Kamash, what's not true? So there's one set of Tanoim wrote the opinion that everything is problematic retroactively because you have a taita the other way. So to over here, you have a taita the other as well, because here, although we know that the fruit that you're separating used to be around, on the other hand, the tevel has a cheskes tevel. So it's a parallel kind of halacha of a taita the other. So Rabbi Yehuda, we give a problem. Now the Mishnah told us that Rabbi Yehuda says that three times a year, but the mikveh, yeah, we pass everything would be a problem. Yeah, this would be a big problem. If we would have a situation where, let's say, last time we measured the mikveh, and tonight we measured the mikveh, and all of a sudden we realize the mikveh is missing, so that anyone who went to the mikveh in the last 3 hours, we'd have to send them back. So the good news is from the last time we measured, right. So the good news is that the measuring is not what's going to do with Amrit Vos. I mean, every once in a while, something could theoretically go wrong with the mikveh. It's highly, highly unlikely. We have when we build the Vos, we build them with so many backup systems, and so many mechanisms in, that even if something will go wrong with this board, there's going to be another board. Because every mikveh today has at least two different systems working simultaneously to make sure the mikveh is okay. So even if something goes terribly wrong with, let's say, the Bohar Shokla, so the Bohar's real savior, something goes wrong with his real, there's always something kind of a backup. So when the Mikvos, we're not going to run out of water in the Mikvos, that's not going to happen. Sometimes, in theory, something could potentially go wrong, but it's very, very, very rare.
What?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, we do rely on chazakas. I mean, in theory, you can have a problem. Rely on chazakas, then it turns out the chazakas was wrong. So you have to deal with it. Right? Could happen.
You speak
so, okay. Maybe there will be a problem. So Rabbi Yudah said in the Mishnah that we check the wine 3 times a year. What is what time is Shabbos? Is when is 6:50 Shabbos? 5:00. Okay, so we check the wine 3 times a year just to make sure everything is up to par. So the Mishnah said that we check it the first time on Motzai Sukkot when it starts to get the windy season. So Tana, the Braisa qualifies Bekidu Shemotzai Chakshat Kufa. And it's already into the tkufa. The year is divided into 4 different seasons. So when it's already into the time of the fall season, so that's the correct time to check the wines, which is going to be shortly after the Sukkot. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer, the Gibul Praka Mochanes at Tfua, if Neazera, or Bishazera, or Prosa Pesach. So there are 3 times of the year, which is considered to be the normal seasons of selling grain. I'm going to have to explain what's the, who cares what the normal times of selling the grain is. So I'm going to explain a little bit later. So the 3 basic times of selling the grain is one is before the planting season, one is during the planting season, and one is 15 days, Prosa Pesach means, around Rosh Chodesh and Nisan time. And the 3 times of the year, that's considered to be the normal time for selling wine. So we process Pesach, so 15 days before Pesach, we process Teres, 15 days before Shavuos, we process Chag, and 15 days before Sukkot. The Shemen, Teres, Ba'elach, and oil, so after from Shavuos onwards, that's considered to be the normal times. My hopes, what do I care about? What the season of selling these things are. The Gemara says, I'm a Rav, we came to Rav Papa, the Shutfin. So either Rav said, or Rav Papa said, it's an afkamina for Shutfin. So if I have a partner, so if you have, let's say, I'm a partnership with you in these grains, in these wines, these oils, etc. So if it's the normal time that everybody would sell, I don't have to call you up and track you down to find out whether you're willing to sell. Let's say we're in business together. So it's self-evident. Understood. I'm going to sell whatever's the best of the partnership. But if I decide I want to start selling in all season, most people wouldn't sell, then I have to get your permission in order to do it. So we kind of, what about after all these times are over, later into the seasons? I'm going to call you up and you. So then it's all considered to be the right time. So you're not allowed to sell too early because the other partner may not be happy with that. But once the sale dates have come, so that's considered to be the normal way of business to keep on selling. So you don't have to call your partner every single time to make sure he's okay with any given sale. Okay, we'll stop for now. Let's turn next time over.